Greetings to each of you on this beautiful morning. You should have brought your jacket with you. It's actually chilly. No one expected it to be such a good and enjoyable day. And I hope that the rest of the day will continue the same way for you. It has been at least 18-year-long relationship with the church. And I bring you greetings from South Asia, from India, from my wife who is in Janesville right now, and maybe she might even sneak in. I'm not sure, but I gave her the freedom. I said, it's okay. You've heard me before, and you can hear me again. And you can hear us online, so you don't have to worry about it, but you'll miss the people, I'm sure. These are funny times. You know, this morning I was looking for my shoes. And it took me a while to find them because we walk around in our sneakers. People feel isolated, separated from each other. That was the kind of situation for God's people in many, many places, and still continues that way, regardless of the pandemic. But the faithfulness of God is amazing. And I hope that during this time of fellowship and worship and hearing God's word, you will forget about every other distraction and be able to focus on what God has to say to us this morning. There are two texts in the Bible that I want to call your attention to. Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. And words cannot actually communicate the feelings of the time. But I'm going to read this for you, and then I'll try to use someone who is really a good communicator from the old times and see if that works to get the point across from this passage. So it's from 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes, burst into songs of joy together. You ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. The next passage is Romans 10, 15, that directly quotes from Isaiah. I'll read that to you in a little different version. For the scripture says, everyone who believes, it's from Romans 10, 11 through 15. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. There are other translations who embellish the term preach, and it is translated announce, declare, proclaim, and share. So I'll bring you to back to the Isaiah passage. And this is a little note from David McKenna. Everyone, he has written his commentary on Isaiah. Everyone who has heard Handel's Messiah begins to hum when they read another song of deliverance. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Few, however, grasp the full meaning of the song that he gives to the people of Zion to sing. Now, we have to imagine this in our mind's eye. Must see through the eyes of the watchman, looking out from the ruined walls of Jerusalem towards the distant mountains where the faint image of a messenger on the run comes into view. As the runner comes closer, the speed of the gait, the smile on the face, the note being waved in the air leaves no doubt. The messenger comes to proclaim the good news of peace and glad tidings of salvation. Within hearing distance now, the shout is heard, "Your God reigns!" The watchman runs from their post and into the street to shout the same good word to all the people. Those who wail will break forth with joy, and those who sorrow will begin to sing together, "Our God reigns." That's the good news of peace and the glad tidings of salvation that breaks through despair with joy and brings a note of song to the lips of sorrowing, besieged people. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts as we pay attention to what the Spirit has to say to us. Pray, O Lord, that you will lead us and that you will guide us and you will open our ears so we will not hear a man's voice, but what you and your Spirit and your word has to say to us will sink deep in our hearts. I remember it was at Marshall School when we first came to River Hills. You prayed for us, encouraged us, blessed us for over 18 years as a church. I'm thankful for your fellowship in Christ. Our prayers continue for you during this time of transition, both the changes that you have faced in the church, also the changes in our community, and the changes in our nation. I pray that your hearts will be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will declare in your heart to one another and again, "Our God reigns." May Christ be lifted up through this body of believers. And as your missionaries, we appreciate your help in sharing the good news in South Asia. Sharon, I'm not sure if she's here or not, or she will be, or she might not. But that's okay. She sends her greetings. And we love you and this church very much. God is on the move. We returned from our travels in Asia March 16th, just as the COVID-19 situation was increasing. Within 1 week, all of India went into lockdown mode. We were thankful for God's provision for our nonstop flight back to Chicago. We know of people that got stuck in India. During our time away, God carried us to India to Thailand, to Philippines, and then back to India for the time of ministry. We're very thankful for that window of opportunity to be there earlier part of this year and to be able to deliver to God's people words of encouragement, assistance, and the Word of God. It's been difficult everywhere. The stories we get from India, you think we are facing difficult times here. The rest of the world is just the same and much more so, without any resources, without any help and assistance, without any hope. But God is on the move. He is mobilizing His people to look upwards. Since returning, we are thankful for technology that keeps us connected with the field. We are glad to report to you that in India, God's people are actively sharing the gospel in their communities, besieged communities. They are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the least reached and the least served people. And folks are turning to Christ. They are looking to Jesus for everlasting hope because in this world, they are losing hope. Even just today, we got the message that a ministry family, the mother had a heart attack and they went to 3 different hospitals carrying her for 8 hours looking for a place that would take her at least to provide some medical assistance. And just as I was leaving home, we got the message that they were able to bring her in the hospital. She was stabilized and doing better and tested negative on the COVID test. We're glad to report to you that God is on the move in places that are hard to reach, where you and I cannot go, but God is mobilizing His people. And as we have talked to people and we have encouraged them, prayed for them, and assisted them as best as we could, we have been able to help with food distribution in 6 locations. 4 places are predominantly Muslim. 1 area has 4,000 Muslim migrant workers stuck in a slum in North India. 1 partner, Abdul, a Muslim background believer, who has come to Christ 20-some years ago and has been in ministry for all this time now. He and his wife have been ministering with food distribution and meeting health needs in this once closed community. And God has opened new opportunities with families to share the good news of Christ Jesus. And we are hearing testimonies of individuals and families that are making a personal commitment to follow Jesus. How amazing that it takes a calamity to open the doors, but God is not stopped. He uses every tool that we don't even understand to communicate His goodness and kindness and grace to us. Luke in his gospel included Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3, to show that Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to proclaim the Lord's favor. Paul recounts from chapter 52 in his letter to Romans in the passage read for us. And he reports that with exultation to show how God feels about the good news shared by His people with others. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. How does this statement apply to the followers of Christ, to the body of Christ, to the church, to us as individuals today? As we think about the beautiful feet, I'd like to tell you about a common cultural practice in South Asian countries to touch the feet of the elders to show honor for their position, their role in community and family. Individuals are honored that way for specific acts of courage, bravery, mercy, and kindness. This practice is not gender specific, so mothers, sisters, grandmothers, and benevolent community leaders are included. And because in most cases this is a cultural honorific gesture, it is often used among the indigenous churches to honor one another. Sharon and I have felt humbled many times in overly crowded house fellowships. All shoes are taken off, left outside the door. People sit crowded and uncomfortable on the floor. You barely have a place to stand in the corner when they ask you to preach. And after the word of God is shared, people stand in line for prayer and counsel. As we pray for individuals and families, they stand with folded hands, agreeing with our prayers, sometimes uplifted hands. Then as they leave, they quickly bend down, touch our feet, and step back so others can take their place. We feel like stopping them, but culturally, that is not appropriate to stop them. Instead, we touch them on the head to bless them. Perhaps the scriptures were written in Asian culture. It is easier to understand the biblical honor given to feet that carry the good news. I'll share more about the meaning of the beautiful feet later in the message. But as I read the text from Romans 10, many things grip my attention. Now I'm going to share with you three truths that spoke to me loud and clear during this time of thinking it through. And they are written there in the bulletin, and you can look them up and maybe take down some notes if you feel like remembering some of the things you hear. Number one, God's missional intent has always been global because he is the Lord of all. Number two, the gospel is alive, actively dynamic, transforming lives, not just an idea or a philosophy. It's the good news that works. Number three, transformed people share the good news with others. They are the people of beautiful feet. So let me go through these three truths that touch my heart. God's missional intent has always been global in its reach. If we view God of the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we fail to honor him and know him as the Lord of all that we are told back there in the Old Testament. Old Testament clearly informs us that God was at work before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was there before creation, and he had laid out his plans and his plans for mankind were always global. Since before the creation, God had a redemptive pathway for all mankind. When God communicated his covenant to Abraham, he included to bless all the nations and peoples of the earth. This was to be passed on to the following generations. the blessings were not simply about making them prosper with flocks, lands, and houses, but it was to ultimately redeem and reconcile them to himself in the Messiah, Christ Jesus. We understand that children of Israel often claimed genetic ownership of God's blessings and tried to limit God as their tribal deity. God made it clear that he does not grant random favors outside his own plan and purpose. We're reminded in Joshua 5, verse 13 through 15, it tells us of an event near Jericho. Joshua looked up and saw a man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" See, back then, there was this us and them thing as well. Neither the commander of the army of the Lord replied, "I have now come, and you wonder about the purpose." The heavenly commander wasn't there to pick sides between Israel and Jericho, but he was there to make sure that God the Father's intended plan and purpose is honored and secured on this earth. In our Romans passage, Paul quotes from Isaiah 52, the verse 10 includes all nations and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. God's global plan was from the beginning. Isaiah, quote, is not simply literary borrowing to affirm God's global intent from the Old Testament. It is the truth that is dear to God's heart. The New Testament carries in succession God's global intent. The genealogy of Jesus includes non-Jewish believers like Rahab and Ruth. In Joshua 3, 14 through 16, reference is made about God's love for the world. In John 3, 14 through 16, the reference is made about God's love for the world. And everyone who believes is granted access to his saving grace. In John 4, we see Jesus deciding to go through Samaria, that forsaken place and the place of the Gentiles. And there, he chose to sit at the well near Sychar, talking to the Samaritan woman about what kind of worshipers God the Father seeks out. He was not focusing on his Jewish heritage. He was focusing on his heavenly calling. God the Father seeks those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus also did many miracles that included healings and deliverance in non-Jewish areas beyond the boundaries of Israel. People who were lepers, people who were untouchable by the self-righteous Pharisees. We find plenty of evidence in the New Testament regarding God's global plan. Jesus made it very clear when he commissioned his followers in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize, and teach them all I have commanded you. Acts tells us of the Holy Spirit, empowered witnesses deployed to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2, at the Pentecost, the good news is proclaimed in many languages. In Acts 10, Peter, who was very, very Jewish, he is sent to share the good news with Cornelius, a Gentile centurion. Saul very soon after his conversion was called out to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The church planting and growing fellowships of Gentile believers far surpassed in numbers past the Jewish followers of Christ in a very short time. Our God is on the move. Dear church, we better get our cadence right and join him in his move. With all the cultural and linguistic handicaps that could be used as barriers across cultural and ethnic divides in the world, we can see the overriding global missional intent of our God. Ephesians 2:13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. Verse 19, that was my favorite verse when I turned to Christ. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Revelations 5:9 and Revelation 7:9 shows us what is to come still. Great multitude in white robes from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They are called Christ's. They are purchased by his blood. The blood of Christ that flows from the cross to redeem all people that trust in him. His blood reaches the highest mountains and it flows to the lowest valley, to the distant lands and the obscure islands. The second truth that comes through to me loud and clear is that this gospel is alive, actively dynamic, transforming lives. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us the steps to hear the gospel story are simple, but its influence is profound and it's visible. When Christ indwells a life, that life is transformed, indwelt by the Holy Spirit and empowered to live in obedience to Christ. There will be ups and downs, but the work of God's grace continues in his people. There will be difficulties faced along the way, but praise be to God who gives us his victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. He faithfully works his will in us. He removes the wrinkles, old habits, and replaces them with Christ-likeness. New life simply cannot be kept hidden. It shows up in our new way of thinking, a new countenance, a new nature, a new disposition, a new purpose, a new anticipation, even new hungering and thirsting and desiring the interests of God. It will be visible in each person who truly is saved and made new in Christ. There will be moments of remorse and repentance and asking for forgiveness and being refreshed and renewed and cleansed again and again. There are two ways that we can notice this. And one is first and foremost in our own lives, and we must and we should, because we experience it ourselves firsthand when we come to Christ by God's grace. The power of the gospel transforms. He has transformed me. New life shines and shows past our imperfections. Often I have been surprised at my own gospel-aligned responses. That's not the way I used to think. I could recognize the carnality within me and the need to bring those inclinations to Christ in repentance. When one comes alive, visible spiritual growth begins. And you cannot stop it. It has life of its own and it grows. And that doesn't mean that I have become a holy Joe. But Paul says, reminds us in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We should be thankful to God for his grace, and we should celebrate Christ's victory in our own personal lives, taking time to be thankful in worship to God. And there is the second way that this is visible, the living good news. It is visible when we can see and notice transformation in other believers. We meet them, and some we used to know, some were total strangers to us, but we see something different and unique in them. Serving on the mission field among those who come from completely non-Christian backgrounds, we have had the privilege to see some amazing transformations. Life-destroying habits falling off, relationships restored, idol worship and superstitions gone away, unrealistic fears and dependency and bondages broken, and the name of Jesus exalted in people who didn't even know that name. The growing love of God's word, sincere prayers, life and joy of worship, an interaction and trusting relationship with other believers. All these are amazing milestones in the spiritual growth process. And this is my prayer. Lord, make it visible in me and make it visible in my brothers and sisters and in your church. Romans 10:11, those that truly call on the name of the Lord are not only saved, but they will never be ashamed. Paul affirms and assures us with this. The amazing transformation miracle should fill us with gratitude and worship. But sooner or later, one must ask and say to the Lord in prayer, I know now, O Lord, you have called me to yourself and into the fellowship with other believers in the body of Christ. How do you want me to live this new life to honor you? How do you want me to carry out your pleasure, your plans, and your purpose? Guide me, O great Jehovah. Real life and light of Christ cannot be hidden. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, what we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing, this extraordinary power is from God. I want to share with you about a brother. I'm proud to call him a brother now. But he was a hateful, hostile, radical Muslim. And he was an apologist training to be an imam to argue for the faith of Islam. And he was very hostile and hateful towards Christians, towards the Bible, and even the name of Christ. But the hound of heaven got a hold of him. And some humble evangelist gave him a New Testament to read, saying, if you hate it so much, why don't you find out what's written in it? And he laughed and slapped the evangelist, but kept the New Testament. And that was the beginning of his contact with the name of Jesus. It took him 7 years, but he came to a realization and understanding that he is totally lost without Christ. No one can save him. No pilgrimage can save him. No good works can save him. No fighting for Islam can save him. But only Jesus came to reconcile us with God the Father. And he gave his life to Christ. Today he is a preacher of God's word. He is an evangelist. He is a proclaimer of the good news, a disciple maker, and a planter. But in this past year, there have been 400 new fellowships started with the movement of sharing the gospel, starting with him. The good news has to be visible. It has to be shared. How can you hide such a glorious treasure and sit on it? It has to be passed on. The third truth that comes to me is that transformed people share the good news with others. The beautiful feet represent action, willingness, demonstration of life, compassion, and care for our families, our neighbors, and strangers alike. I think of a mother who can see her child falling. She drops everything and rushes to pick that child up. Her feet move her faster than she's used to, because something wells up within her. And my prayer is that something will well up within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the word will come alive, and we will reach out to others around us, full of compassion that only flows from God. Isaiah saw the Lord in chapter 6, high and lifted up. And you know the passage, you're familiar with it. And ultimately he says, here am I. Send me. I'm a man of unclean lips who lives amongst the unclean people, but here am I. And God takes us up, dusts us off, washes us clean in the blood of his Son, and he puts us to work for his honor and his glory. Willing and active service for the King. We are called to do that. Going where no one wants to go. No task is lowly enough or below dignity. All that we do as unto the Lord for his glory and honor, as an act of worship. We can be inadequate and poor, but can be of service in the Master's hands. People say, Paul says to us in the beginning of his letter to Romans, I'm obligated to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, to the wise and the fools. He goes on to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Many times, young Christians are confronted with that. And they look this way and that way. And they are tried and tested. But as we grow in God's grace, we develop the cadence, the backbone, the strength. Come what may, nothing will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about a young woman, very young compared to me. Her name is Jhumpa. She came, she's barely educated, lives in a village, isolated, alone, very poor, discarded and discouraged young person with nothing to look forward to. A second-rate citizen in her own village, nobody cares. She came to the women's training that the team in near Calcutta runs close to the Bangladesh border. And then during this training, she heard the gospel presented. She took interest in the Bible stories from the Word of God and participated in prayers. And God started to draw her to himself. And she made a heart commitment to Christ in the face of opposition and hardship and rejection by her own people. And yet, in the face of hardship, she grew in her faith and her trust in Jesus. Her countenance changed. God-given hope showed through the expressions on her face. Out of her hard-earned money with labor-intensive work, she wanted to have a Jesus celebration in her village. So she went around and invited 70 people from her village to come for a meal. And out in the field, she went and she rented some canopies and she spent her money and prepared a simple food, simple meal, and she shared her testimony. And she had called the leaders on the training team to please come to her village to enjoy the meal, enjoy the fellowship, and share the good news of Jesus Christ with her village people. That was the beginning of her opening up her heart and her mouth and her life to begin to share Christ with others. And it has not slowed down. She is the best evangelist in that village and surrounding areas. She would go and she would tell them all about herself. And most people know who she is. And they never really ever thought that she would amount to anything. But she calls up the team leaders and she calls up her fellow co-workers and she tells them, oh, today I was on the train and I got to share about Jesus with some lady sitting next to me. And I talked to a beggar on the street about Jesus and I prayed for the sick person and I gave them a leaflet so they could know and learn more about Jesus. Initially, the villagers had ignored her, but now they value her. Jhumpa celebrates Jesus with her life. When we truly comprehend the good news, we are filled with overflowing joy, and it cannot be contained. It doesn't matter what our status is in life. Today in our world, people are so absorbed in the bad news of all kinds, be it the pandemic or politics or the wars or rumors of wars. We are to be looking to Jesus more so intensely in these last days. Every generation, every culture, every tribe, every tongue, every nation is bound by one destructive common denominator. We are all sinners, totally hopeless in our present state and well deserving of God's judgment and wrath against us. But in our stubborn, callous thinking, we try all the ways we can muster to cover our shame. We accuse someone or blame someone else. The good news is from God, who cares for all mankind. And it is complete. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. The grace of God and the forgiveness of our sins flows freely from the cross. Christ is enough for me. This we believe. Prayerfully, tell someone in the time of need that Christ is enough for them also. Say to one another, I turned to call on Jesus, believed in my heart, and called on his name. He removed the condemnation and shame of my sin and gave me an everlasting hope. Verse 11 and 13, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all. He richly blesses all who call on him. Our feet become beautiful in the eyes of God. Jesus was willing to wash his disciples' feet to make them clean and beautiful to bring good news. Amazingly, included in his letter to Romans in the theology of brilliant Paul, there is this statement about our lowly feet from God's perspective. The feet that represent dynamic movement and direction to fulfill God's designed purpose and plan. The feet of transformed people make the good news accessible, available, both in terms of living examples and in truthful proclamation. People are moving around, carrying everything under the sun these days. I am with Paul, and I want to honor and touch the feet that bring good news. If you know Jesus, tell someone about Jesus who truly changes and delivers lives. You are here for such a time as this, folks. If you don't know him, now is the time. Now is the time to start a conversation. Ask your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your church fellowship. Acts 17, 26 and 27, God determines the times and exact places where people should live so that men would seek him and perhaps find him. We don't have to wait till we get all the way across the Pacific Ocean. We can be useful in God's hands here and now. Paul went to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Rome. His letter to Romans shows his obedience to the call of God. In AD 52, first martyr Thomas went to India to share the good news. Many believers today are beaten and martyred in India. Actually, the number is very high if we count the past 4 years. The beautiful bleeding feet still keep going, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Our God is the Lord of all, and he cares for the whole world. And in closing, I want to say to you, the gospel is alive and dynamic and transforms lives visibly and in action. The transformed people want to engage. They don't want to overlook the treasure that God has placed in their jars of clay. So be it threat of pandemic and chaos of the world, The church is growing in the hot places that are plagued with disease and destruction, economic collapse and persecution. Time is short. Our God is on the move through the beautiful feet of his church. May Jesus be known in our homes, in our communities, in our nation, and the ends of the earth will call Jesus Lord and Savior. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Let's just be quiet for just a few moments. Father, you have helped me to think through the truth of your word. I pray that your spirit will provoke us to thought long after we have departed. Pray that we will honor Christ in every possible way. Through him and him alone we ask. Amen. Will you please rise for the benediction? I will read this to you. End of Romans chapter 16. Starting from verse 25 till the end of the chapter, verse 27. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings, by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen.